Today is Sunday afternoon, January 25th, 2015, and thank God we got back from the wilds of Florida without any hitches. Allah was not on strike, and everything went as smoothly as it could go. And Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back, and my grandson is feeling better. It was really a great Shabbat for us to see, not just physically, but mentally, he's overcoming the trauma. The trauma remains. We're Jews. We all suffer trauma of being what the Jews have gone through. But Baruch Hashem. Anyway, today I have a lot I want to talk about, and I'll limit myself to keep online to what we're involved with in this class. And I want to dedicate the class. There was a terrible tragedy while I was in the States, and I didn't realize exactly who this person was, Rabbi David Winiaz, who was killed in a dead. The weather has been terrible in America, in the eastern seaboard. And they tell me it's the worst winter in decades. And a car went out of control on the ice in Baltimore, and four rabbanim were in the car going to an outreach conference, and one was killed. The one killed Rabbi David Winiaz, 49, of Staten Island. So my daughter actually knows him. And I heard from others, I heard from people in the Kollel, that he was at Tzadik Yesod Olam, very special in outreach, very capable. He's known as the Facebooker Rebbe. Facebooker Rebbe, it's beyond my comprehension what that's all about, but I have a little idea already. And they tell me he had a regular job, I think, with Fidelity Bank, and every spare moment he devoted to outreach, and they say he was really very special. And I know the family. I know he has a half-brother who's a Talmud of mine, a wonderful young man, Shmuel. And I just want to extend condolences to the family. And here, Shluchei Mitzvah, it's the old question, going to a conference on outreach, And look at the tragedy. But the Ribbono Shel Olam calls him the best. I've seen that all my life. And I just have to bow my head humbly like Eov, or the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which humans have to go further, not always understanding why the tzaddikim suffer and somehow the Rishayim win out. And I just want to dedicate this year in memory of Harav David Winiaz. I may have met him over the years, I don't know, but my daughter tells me very, very special. Now, in relation to something that I mentioned months ago, when I referred to the Debrecina Rebbe, the Debrecina Rebbe, Reb Moshe Stern. So remember, I mentioned that I recall going to, in my earliest year or so in MTA, I recall that on Amsterdam Avenue there was a big funeral, there was a shtibble there, and there were like thousands of chassidim in black, and I was a little kid. We had never seen anything like that in the United States before. And I remember I was absolutely flabbergasted. A kid, what is this? And they told me it's the Rebbe's Levaya. So I thought that the Debrecina in Borough Park is the second generation in America. So I was corrected. No, that he's the first. And I have to say to my Talmud Chaim Schnitzer, if I'm pronouncing it right, it's spelled S-C-N-I-C-E-R. It's a Talmud I never met, but he corresponds. He did his research with the computer, and he came up that Taka in 1952, which is perfect. My first year in YU was 51, 52. I was a little kid. And he says that it's the Debrecina's uncle, evidently. He was an Eisjude in Berlin. That's probably why he settled in Washington Heights. He was Nifter in 1952, Rabbi Yisachar Beresh Rubin. He is also called the Delune Rebbe. And there is a Dumbrava Rebbe from this branch in Muncie. So it shows you my memory is correct. I did hit upon, I remember it was a snowy day. I remember it so clearly. And I'm happy to say correct. Okay. Chaim also sent me, and this is Maharsayach Mimech Yetzeyu. Here is a scholarly article, Mamish, by Alexandra Lang Sussman, written in 2002, Strings Attached, An Analysis of the Eruv Under the Religion Clauses of the First Amendment and the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. And it's a scholarly article for lawyers, and this Jewish woman shows that Al-Pi Chukei Atzot HaBrit, building an Eruv, is an infringement of the separation of church and state. And evidently this was used in the West Hampton conflict. It was used against the synagogue wanting to build an Eruv. So it's beyond comprehension. On a lighter note, a happier note, my dear student Daria Lieberman, he reads my mind at times. It's amazing. So he always sends me what he knows of his interest to me. So this is a rare volume he printed out. I say rare because I checked the doctorate of Adam Mintz, who wrote a doctorate in NYU in Erev. I'll quote it. I don't know if I've quoted it until now, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail later this year. And Rabbi Dr. Adam Mintz is a YU Mismach, I believe, out of the 70s, late 70s, if I'm not mistaken. Some of you may know him. He was rabbi in the Lincoln Square Synagogue. So I went through his biography. He doesn't quote the Sefer either. So I want to mention the Sefer. I went through it, and I'll summarize it in 2 minutes. But I want to quote one part of it that just strengthens what I've been saying all the years. This Sefer, from what I gather, Sefer Yetziat HaShabbat, which was Hutak V'Huchnas Li Internet, the www.hebrewbooks.org, Al Yedei Chaim, Tasha. Tasha would be 2011. Who's Chaim? I guess that's the person who scans it in. Am I right? You correct me. It's your world, not my world. And this is evidently the second edition. It's by Moshe Yitzchak Weissman, Rosh Kolel Ohel Moshe, published in Brooklyn. Do you know this person? The name doesn't mean anything to you. And I try to find out who he is, but what I gather from his introduction, he is a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, so it means he had to have learned in Lakewood. And this whole Sefer is totally against putting up an Eruv in big cities. He reaches a conclusion that the only way you can put up in big cities is if you actually have doors that are closed every day. Every day the doors have to be closed. And he supports Reb Moshe, but I'll tell you what's fascinating. You see that the biggest influence on him is Reb Aaron Cutler. And it could be because Reb Aaron Cutler is his Rebbe. On the other hand, notice the way he writes, V'chein gedolei umanhigei hador havar rosh kol b'nei hagola hagon harab Aaron Cutler itself. And then Hagon Reb Moshe Feinstein, Admur Misatma, Gon Reb Yonason Steif, Hagon Av Beitin Papa, Mitchat Yitzchak, Hagon Rab Moshe Bik, V'chvod Kedushato Admur Mibavav, and he gives Rabbi Padua from London, and they're all opposed. Whether they're all opposed is a different question. He even tries to take the Chazon Ish Shita down by claiming the Chazon Ish. He quotes oral tradition that the Chazon Ish revised himself, but notice Reb Aaron Cutler, that the way he refers to him, further on in Dr. Tomo, when he talks about 1962, when they spoke about building an Eruv in Manhattan, and Rosh Kol B'nei Agadah, Maron Hagon Reb Aaron Cutler, Madri Rosh HaSeifa, Ubedvarim Chotzvim Lavat Eish, Ubedkifat Kedolot Kedakol Bekodesh Ibiu Datora Beruda, Shafilu Im Yesh Heter Al Pidin, Ein Latakein Eruv Manhattan, She Yitzmakumi Zemich Shalim Gedolim, Veyavoeli Dei Kirul Shabbat. So I have to say, and I went through the whole Sefer, very fascinating material, but everything we spoke about in class, except he always takes the push, the chumrah. And it could be one part I'll quote later when I talk about New York historically. But what's fascinating is the role Reb Aaron Cutler played. Now, he says, at least he's totally honest, that Reb Aaron Cutler in his, who said he was going to write a tshuva, and this is what Rav Menachem Kasher says as well, that he promised Rav Menachem Kasher, he's working on it, it's going to write a tshuva lahalacha, and he never really finished the tshuva. Parts of it I quoted in class, it appears in Mishnah Rabbarim, but it's not a tshuva lahalacha, it's just dealing to pula b'yanyanim shel erev. But he does say that he never finished the tshuva. So you see, if he never finished the tshuva, so once again, you can't totally dismiss Rav Menachem Kasher, who evidently had spoken with him in learning, with Rav Aaron in learning, and had hoped that Rav Aaron would be more makil. But it's a fascinating sefer, and I thank Aryeh Liebman. And again, I stand in awe of what you can do with a website. It's beyond words. Hebrew books, Svarim. And this is not the first time that a sefer that you can't put your hands on, that no one knows about, suddenly you find it, and it's just fantastic, fantastic. What can I tell you? I know a lot of people say there's pornography. I imagine there is, and there's murder and whatnot. All I can tell you is what I've gotten out of the computer, outside of the Lashon Hara, the Chilat, and the Haredi websites, I've never done a sin in my life with the computer. The Lashon Hara, the Chilat, so one of the big websites is Biolamam Shel Haredim, and that functions in my, it comes out of my, I know the person for it. Yeah, I don't know the one, I'm not going to bore you with the details. But when I came in Aliyah, I went to see his father, Rav Shmuel Shulzer, who was the assistant mayor, his first cousin was my good friend. If you have a problem, go to Rav Shmuel. This street in Hanover is named after him. His son Chaim Bezivik Rishon, and she, at the end of the year, the marriage broke up, married my student. So I know him. And he sits in Miami Beach, and his website gets millions of hits. So there, if you want to know the machloikat in the Haredi world, you just have to go to his website. So people said to me, Rebbe, what do we do? There's so much Lashon Hara Rechilat, that the stories that I once said above, maybe I even said it in class, that if one-tenth of what he says it's true, it's frightening. So I said, it's W'dul Arabim, you know, once it's in a newspaper headlines, there's no Lashon Hara, no Rechilat, it's W'dul Arabim. But that's the worst that I've seen, is these Haredi websites. Oh, boy. All right, anyway, be it as it may, I was really overwhelmed to have the sefer and to go through it. And I see Adam Mintz didn't mention it. Maybe he wasn't aware of it. Not that he needs it, because his work is less halakhic and more historic. Now, let me pick up where we left off. And there's no question that London has unique problems. Rabbi Rubin will see the problems with his own eyes. And right next to Gold is Green is a tremendous park, is a golf course, is a bit of a botanical gardens, is a tremendous parking lot for a shopping area, tremendous halavai in Israel. That parking lot is as big as all of Talpiyot. And all of you know, Talpiyot, what we go through to try to park there. All of you know, Givat Shaul, they have millions of shopping and stores and offices and government offices and the chief rabbinate, and go and try to park a car in Givat Shaul. They might as well outlaw cars, not just downtown, but the whole Yerushalayim. You can't use cars already. So there they have a parking lot the size of Givat Shaul. And this is the whole question of Hukaf the Dira, Lo Hukaf the Dira. And you see that, as Rabbi Asher Weiss says, and again, I saw in America that people know about Rabbi Asher Weiss. You follow me, Menachem? People know about Rabbi Asher Weiss. And Rabbi Asher Weiss says that you see among the Achronim that the problem of Hukaf the Dira is totally minimized. In the United States, it's barely discussed at all. And the answer is that if the area is for human usage, it's not totally isolated, then it's considered Hukaf the Dira. You can't consider it already a Beit Sasfayim. What was the word that we struggled with? A kapif, a kapaf, a kapaf, whichever way you want to pronounce it. You can't consider it a kapaf, a kapaf. I was raised kapaf, but I see a jazz group has kapif, and I believe Steinholz has kapaf. And there, people who know grammar went through Steinholz. It's not just stum. published. Every word, the way they punctuate it is done scholarly. So whatever the word is, we get the idea. But we see the Achronim were Mekil. And ultimately with the army base and the air force, which again is a problem that who would ever dream that a problem like this would come up. But you have to remember, in an air force base, planes have to be ready to go into the air at a moment's notice. The only way you can do that is by having the pilots live on base. Most pilots are older, those who remain in the army. I would imagine 99% are married, they have families. I know on the big Air Force base that was built to replace the Air Force base in Sinai, I told you that a mikveh, a $100,000 mikveh was built. It was paid for by some American, there was a dedication, low-key dedication. Again, there are problems here with the those who have enmity towards Yiddishkeit. They'll jump on anything to make an issue. A mikveh, Air Force Base, so it was done low-key. But the reason that they built the mikveh was not for men. It wasn't for Chassidim yet. It wasn't that Chassidim are overrunning the Air Force. That may happen. It's already happening. But it's not going to... But it was built for the women who didn't want to go to Be'er Sheva. And they built a beautiful mikveh. So you're going to... What are women doing? Because the families have to live there. And I saw that in America. I told you when I visited the Air Force base outside Denver, Colorado, where the chaplain was married to a student of mine. They subsequently came back to... She was an Israeli, he was an American. They came in Aliyah. So I saw, I was given a tour of the base, and exactly the same concept, that they have to keep two jets in the air, 724. It's the western coast of America. And they have to have pilots ready to get into the plane with 2 minutes' notice. The car, the jeep pulls up, you jump in, 2 minutes later, you're going into the cockpit. And so now, the big Shiloh, if you look at any, you don't have to be, you don't have to look at an Air Force base. Look at any airport that handles jets. You see how big the base has to be. It's not a helicopter base. It's not a helicopter that can land on the top of a building. Hadassah, helicopters can land. I don't know whether they can, I don't believe they can land at Shaare Tzedek. But I know at Hadassah, helicopters can land. The Knesset, helicopters land. The big shots from the government going back and forth. And an Air Force base where you have jets, you need tremendous runways. No, mukaf ladira ain't a mukaf ladira. A lot more than a Beit Satayim. And what about in the Shomron and Yehuda, where you take an area, now we're suffering with Obama, with Kerry. It's beyond words what the Torah people are suffering. But that's a different story. But nevertheless, they circle the land. All this land is government land that can be built on according to international law. But nothing is there yet. Nothing will be there for at least the next 2 years until there's a new government in America. And here, mukaf ladira, lo mukaf ladira, empty. You can barely walk there. The thistles are growing, thorns are growing. It's wild. It's not cultivated. And Rav Asher Weiss Paskins, you can build an Erev. It's for the human beings, for the good of the people, the good of the Jews. It is mukaf ladira. Okay. Now, I told you I want to go one step further. I won't finish it today. But once again, I have to tell you, this volume enticed me. It caught my attention. It's like a lollipop. It's so interesting. You suck it, and it's so sweet. And I have to plead guilty here, because the Rav, I saw with my own eyes, I have to be honest with you, the Rav was a Litvak, was a Briska. The Litvish, you think they're the only ones in the world who know how to learn. And a Galatiana, a Pelisha, Vikunta Sarai, how does it come into the world of Litva? And you see, the Minchat Chinuch, Rav Baba, he came into the world of Litva. And I can tell you, the Rav gave Shayurim in 1960-61 on the Minchat Chinuch. Not the whole year, part of the year, literally on the Minchat Chinuch. And when people looked at the Rav, Revi, how does it come to you to deal with the Galiziana. And the Rav said, "Mein Zeda hat das Machshir gewen." That Reb Chaim kashed the Minchat Chinuch. Reb Chaim loved the Minchat Chinuch. And if you learn Minchat Chinuch, you'll understand why. He had a very prolific mind. On every mitzvah, he follows the Sefer HaChinuch, but on every mitzvah, you see how he raises issues, he raises questions. He had such a seminal mind, and this is what attracted the Litvak. What Rav Moshe Mandel, and I don't know who he is, I can only tell you his family sent an email here that his father heard, that the Rav heard, Rabbi Moshe Mandel, someone told him, I signed it, his sefer, they're very excited, they'd like to speak with me. So I answered the email now, I gave Sherry an answer, but he's a Rav of a shul in Flatbush. And he wrote the sefer, Smechim L'Shamro, as you saw, Rav Bednash was aware of the Sefer. And I just want to quote from the Sefer. I want to go further. I started it last time. What makes it very, very interesting is the concepts he raises. Why do we have to have an Erev? He gives something like 125 different reasons why we have to have an Erev. And the Sefer came out in a number of editions. He quotes, if you recall last time, he quotes the Tshuva of the Chatam Sefer. He quotes the Tshuva of the Rush. And you see, if you are of Hungarian extraction and you follow the Chatam Sefer, it's very questionable whether you can oppose an Erev. Because the Chatam Sefer tells his Talmud that if you're going to question all the Klalim, and it all comes back to what I said originally, do you take a primitive view that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah in Manhattan, the people on the streets, if you take that primitive view, then of course you can't build an Erev anywhere. But if you go into Lamdis, what Chazal went into, what the Rishonim went into, what the Akronim went into, and you deny it, then you are a Kofer in the Torah Shabbat Peh tradition. And Chas V'Chalila, we should be Kofer Mamagidecha, according to the Rambam, Ein Lo Chelik L'Olam Haba. So this is the Chatam Sefer. If you're an Ungarisha, and this is why the Hasidim generally have no problem with an Erev, despite what Rabbi Weissman brings down in the book, the Sakma was against. We Halacha L'Maisa today, Sakma Hasidim, at least in Borough Park, had gotten involved with a Sakma. He was an Avetan, then he became a Rebbe, and he's one of the big Machshirim of the Erev. So he brings down the Chatam Sefer, he brings down the Tshuvat HaRush. Man, we're dealing with a Rishon, you're not dealing here with a Johnny come lately, we're not dealing here with a Sefer on Hebrew books, you're dealing here with a Rishon. And as Rush tells his Talmud, who doesn't want to build a Tzurat HaPetach, he tells him, I'm going to put you into Cherem unless you build a Tzurat HaPesach. Okay, and then, without redoing everything I did last time, that first of all, Brooklyn is surrounded on three sides by fences. He claims that people came to him and checked the fences. Logically speaking, this makes a lot of sense because Brooklyn is surrounded by water on three sides. Look at a map. It's only where it connects with Queens that it's not surrounded by water. And where you're surrounded by water, you have to build fences. Otherwise, people are going to fall in. You'll say they're beaches. Yeah, but a block away from the beaches. I can tell you Manhattan Beach, Coney Island, that with my own eyes, I saw their fences way bigger than Tentfachim. Okay, so number one, that already adds to the kula when you're surrounded on three sides. And even if they're pirtzot, but ha'omeid meruba al ha'pirtza, this is a fabulous concept that certainly helps in our ability to build an Erev of Tzurat HaPetach. Now, as far as the people who don't believe in Erev, or the Goyim, or the Jews, or like this Jewish woman, could you imagine, writes a learned article, how you can't have an Erev, it's a state and church, all right, this is an old problem. We suffer it whenever bills come up in Congress to to give money to yeshivat and Catholic schools for beyond the curriculum, extraordinary concepts that they do, buses, etc., school books. You come up with it, chugim. How do you say that in English? Chugim, chugim.
Extracurricular.
Extracurricular. There's no simple word like chugim. Extracurricular. I know.
That's
I just.
What it is.
That's what you clubs.
Clubs. Oh, I don't know clubs.
Yeah.
Clubs.
After school.
Like chugim. Chugim is better. I like the Hebrew word. Chugim is better.
That's the right term.
Chugim. Chugim is better. No, I said that a minute ago. I take a look at that. Say that. Chugim sounds better. One little word says it all. And all this, so it's always the Jews who challenge it in court, separation of church and state. I don't have to go any further than the prayer in the public school. Remember what went on? Where the Lubavitcher Rebbe was in favor, they should say a non-denominational prayer. They should know that there's a God in the world. Well, the Jewish organizations went crazy. Church and state, church and state. All right, maybe they're right. Maybe the government gets involved in religion, but I don't know, in America, it doesn't seem to me that we have to fear the government getting involved in religion if they allow you to say a prayer that I thank God that I'm alive today, that I can come to school and study, that God created me with a brain.
The pledge didn't have under guard until 1950.
Right, the pledge, that was also challenged in court. One nation, individual. Under God. And what about the money? Says, in God we trust. Remember all the darshanim from Mei Sharim used to say, here, this is why America is so successful. Everyone wants a dollar because they have in God we trust. And our money
doesn't
say that.
You know what the second part of that line is?
Yeah.
All others pay cash.
Yeah. Okay, so he goes on and on with many, many reasons why we need an Erev, why we can support an Erev, and why there are no problems with the Erev in Brooklyn.
Is this book still published?
No, if it went on Hebrew books, it shows you it's a rare book. Okay? And now, let me pick up...
Can you repeat the author and the name of the book?
I'll repeat the author and the name. The name of the book is Sefer Smechim L'Shamro. The author is Harav Moshe Mendel. Who will see Rabbi Bednash tomorrow morning? Do me a favor, tell him I said Rabbi Miller's the author. Rabbi Moshe Mendel is the author. It was the edition I have, which is evidently the second edition, was published in 2006. Okay? And from what I gather, he is a rabbi. This I got off the internet. He's a rabbi of a congregation in Brooklyn. His home address, it's Flatbush, it's 1358 East 13th Street, which, if I'm not mistaken, would place him in Flatbush. Am I correct? Anyone here from Flatbush? East is Flatbush. If it would just be if it would be without the East, then it could be in Borough Park, it could be elsewhere. But
it's only about a river, it's about Shabbos.
No, it's only about a river. It's only about a river. Okay? It's only about a river. Now, time and again, he raises the issue that people raise, how can you have an Erev if within the boundaries of the Erev are people who oppose the Erev, don't care about the Erev, and there are Gentiles? And here, of course, the answer is you rent the area from the local government, and thereby you have the right to the area. You are the determining factor. And he quotes here from the Supreme Court that there are Supreme Court rulings that give the local authorities the right of eminent domain. Now, eminent domain is a very powerful concept. You can have a house and they decide they're going to build a shopping center, they can take away your house. Right, they have to give you money, they have to pay you. It has to be generally... speaking, in cases of eminent domain, you wind up with a better deal than the house you lived in. But people will say, I grew up here, you understand? And then remember, if you had a happy childhood, where you grew up is a very strong element in your personality.
It's kind of good for a public project.
Yeah, no, it's happened. It's been done already for shopping centers for the good of the people. They made cases and it was upheld in court. Highways, highways, highways. Highways. It was in the Bronx what went on with the that was Rabbi Predmetsky who had contact with Sheldon Silver and his likes. I don't know if Sheldon was yet the big shot. We're talking the '50s, but when they built the Cross Bronx Expressway, he got them to curve it to knock out his synagogue, because otherwise he'd have to sell it to a church. When they took over the synagogue, he got top dollar for a building that was worthless already. And exactly right. Listen, this power exists. But you have to understand the human element. A person will say, I'll give you a simple example. Interesting. Yitzhak, listen to this. The last day, we're in Florida, the last day, they prepare a surprise. All right, what's the surprise? There's a baseball team, two baseball teams in Florida. One of them was called, until now, the Florida Marlins. They now had to change their name to Miami Marlins. Why did they have to change their name? They built a state-of-the-art stadium in downtown Miami, which was partially paid for by Miami, right? Now, this is a state-of-the-art that you never saw. The cup closes, opens. There are four people running. Top people who own the club, all four are Jewish. Not only are all four Jewish, one of them is a Shema Torah mitzvah. Where did you go to elementary school?
Maimonides.
He's a graduate of Maimonides. I believe the name is Joe Mel. He lives in Lawrence. He's done very well in stocks, hedge funds, etc.
When the Marlins won the World Series like 10 years ago, they brought the World Series trophy to Al.
I just want to repeat it, when the Marlins won the World Series, they brought the World Series trophy to Al. So anyway, he was our host, and he showed us around. So now we come to the stadium, my student drives us, and security, yes, we know you're coming, and we now meet the secretary. There's a meeting that's going on with the they not only have a kosher stand there, they're the only stadium that has a kosher kitchen where they actually cook on a level besides hot dogs and hamburgers. And they were having a meeting. My student brought in two brothers from England who want to take this concession. So they're having a little meeting, and we're talking with the secretary. Secretary's Italian, a woman I would say in late 50s, early 60s, raised in the Bronx. She found out we're from the Bronx. Within 2 minutes, Malcolm, myself, and the secretary were sitting around and we were crying, literally crying, remembering our youth. You could see a good childhood. So I can understand the person. My father lived here. My grandparents lived here. All my memories are here. And yet the state can knock it down and take it away. So I have to say, he makes the point that when you rent from the government, they have the right to rent to you. This is perfectly legal. It may be a legal fiction, but it's perfectly legal. Then he makes the point, and I have to tell you, this is very timely, because in America I had Akmas Nefesh, which I will share with you if they come out with a psak. Adam, you know what I'm talking about? The Zikui Haget? You read the press release? So they asked me to speak about Zikui Haget in Boca. Like a dummy, I agreed to speak about Zikui Haget. Now you grow wiser as you grow older. I had to take a topic like that where... So 3/4 of the people were with me. But there was such enmity there. The feminists, like the rabbis are killers, and the attitude towards Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, I couldn't believe my ears, and the amratzit that came out in discussions afterwards, I couldn't believe what I'm hearing. But anyway, without going into Zikui Get, I will come back to it if the basin they set up gives us something in writing. Then I can relate to it. And this topic, Lo Amaretz Anochi, that's a very fascinating story, because back, I told you, 40 plus years ago in Michalai, I had a girl last name was Antelman. Her father contacted me, and he got me involved, and he published the Sefer Zikriyat, and I corresponded with him, and I went through the tshuva. I have what to say, and I believe I'm halachically on total solid ground. But it's not for now. If they don't publish, maybe they're going to back off, because there's been a tremendous outcry already before seeing anything. I mean, a man is yelling, I hate my wife, don't give her a get, I will not give her a get, I want $1 million, and you're going to sit down and write a get from, what are we, Reformed Jews? He has the right to get. Tell me, Steve, you were busy before Christmas, your father-in-law needed you to run the store, before you went to teach, you had no time to put on tefillin, you went to your local rabbi, do me a favor, when you take off your tefillin, put on tefillin for me and say I'm putting them on for Steve. A woman is busy, this just came up, I saw the Sheila, I'll talk about it tomorrow perhaps, I'll show you where I saw the Sheila. A woman has little children, she's all tense, it's Friday night, she has to go to mikveh, she has to make Shabbos, her husband has to go daven, she can't go to mikveh, no one to leave the kids with. Can she delay the mikveh till Saturday night? That's the shaila she asked. Okay? No, I want to ask a different shaila. Why doesn't this woman appoint a shlucha, call her what you wish, to go to mikveh for her? You understand? It's not that we're evil people, Rabbanim. Oh, I couldn't believe the words I had ahead. And now they're throwing dots at me. They put my picture up next to the others. They're dots here. I'm getting dots on all sides. I can't believe a beautiful picture. Where the heck did they get such a beautiful picture? I don't even remember. Yeah, take a look. Cursing me out, maledicting me. Baruch Hashem. Ashrenu shezachim. But I don't even know where they got that picture. Wow. So anyway, coming back here, Zeke, he says something amazing. He says, and here he may be right, he says, not only do we rent the city from the government, we don't have to worry about the Mechavah Shabbos, but when we make the Erev Chatzerot, we make it for them. It's a schut for them. You follow me? Look. You have a balabas, you're under Ravna, Menachem, you're going to America, you're going to study, you're raised in Israel, you're going to learn the American rabbinate. You're going to go into the rabbinate? What's the future?
Here in
Israel. Okay, kala kavod. Ata shalait bi rivgantin any minyach. Ata gadalta bi yivrit.
Kitzat.
Matze kitzat.
No,
I'm zochek. Vata kore yivrit meduberet vi yivrit madernit. You're not like Rabbi Reuben, whenever I want to give him a sefer in modern Hebrew. He asked me if there's an English translation. Yitzchak, he's going to be something, this young man. Now, you're in a shul. I was in America. I know the rabbinate. You can be in a big city, then you talk, I have Rov Minyan Ubinyan Shem Shabbos. I was in Maplewood, South Orange, built it from the first Orthodox shul in Sturban, South County, first Orthodox rabbi in that shul. No one believes me today because the whole area is filled with Yitzchak. Go back to 1962 and you'll understand. Okay. No, you have Balabatim who couldn't care less about selling their chametz. Tell me, can I add their name that I'm the agent to sell their chametz to the guy? Absolutely. Zachim liadam shelo b'fanav. See, there it's not a chovat gavra. It's not like a get I have to give. I have to have the kavana. I create the get with my kavanah. You understand what I'm saying? There, it's a schut for him. He doesn't care less. All right, he's not an observant Jew. It's like, I'll give you another example. Someone comes to you, and by the way, I saw this where I was. I was in the home of Bamol, and I saw the calls he gets. Imagine you get a call. Rabbi, I'm not observant. I couldn't care less, but I just read the New York Times, and circumcision is very healthy for the child. Could you do a circumcision? So, absolutely. The people, they can do for Goyim. But if the people are Jewish, you do the circumcision. L'shem brit milah. You understand? Tapafetam brit. Kedak v'kedin. Aye, they couldn't care less. Zlachen Rabbim Shalob Afanam. You follow?
I think the Chametz is talking about Chokas, Tzos Chumas Adeshim, Zachin Le'adam and Zachin Me'adam.
Zachin, you're trying to say, I never yet saw... I never yet saw anyone object to what I just said. The Achronim all discuss it, Ad the Rabbah, the Ad the Rabbah. And the Achronim, but per se, I hear what you're saying, Zachin Me, because you're taking away from him. Yeah, but you're taking away, it's Zafir V'Yefer, when Pesach comes in, the Chametz is...
You saw before it, you called
Zafir V'Yefer. No, but say that.
It's
but
not
Chal
if you saw it, it's Zafir
V'Yefer. They talk about Chametz per se?
Could be.
Or you're carrying... No, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you can carry it further, because Chametz is not Zafir Mei, it's Zafir La. He shouldn't be obviously your right to have Chametz in his possession. But anyway, I accept fine. Even accepting your comment, my point, his point is still very good. So he says, you're mezakeh them with the Erev Chatzeret. Okay. Now, here is a very interesting question. He raises the issue. He goes, shlav. I can't get over how many. He raises the issue that we've spoken about. Tell me, assuming that the Erev in Brooklyn can be put up, are you allowed to be machmir? You don't want to carry. Are you allowed to be machmir? And here it comes to the Chatam Sofer. He quotes the Munkacha, and Rosh Yeshiva B'Yeshivas Minchat Alazon Munkach, Reb Sholem Noach Segel Weiss. He was on the Beit Din in Warsaw, and a Rosh Yeshiva in the Munkach's Yeshiva. And this is what he writes, gives you the source. B'mokum shenasa eilef kehilchato minchadin shelo lahachmir al atzmo meletaltel ba'oto makom. And then he quotes another sefer. You look in, you'll see. He says, if you're machmir, harei humavazer hatalmid chacham shetikein shem ha'erov. And you see, gentlemen, if there is an Erev, people are machmir, it's a zilzul. I'll go even further, according to this viewpoint. And if you're machmir, and everyone knows you're machmir, and you see the machlokes going on in London, in Flatbush, in Borough Park, if you're machmir, it's a zilzul in Torah Shabbat Peh, in the tradition. This is the way an Erev was built throughout the ages. This is the Chatam Sofer. This is the Rush. And if the Erev is done when there's a Rav HaMachshir, you would have to be Samach on the Erev. All right? Then he quotes an Israeli Sefer. I don't want to bore you with all the quotes. And he's talking about the Erev around B'nai Rak. And he's talking about the Imre Chaim. The Imre Chaim was the Vishnitzer Rebbe. By the way, we're just left with a minion now, so please, no one walk out. We should have a minion for Maariv. Am I right? We have. You have to walk out. Try and find someone who will come in for us, okay? Someone will come back. Okay, let's hope so. The Imre Chaim was the Vishnitzer Rebbe, who I believe he was the first one on Admat HaKodesh, on Eretz Yisrael. And in B'nai Brak, they built an Erev, and his minhag was not to carry on Shabbos. But here he quotes, once they build an Erev, kidei liot modeh b'Erev, hayam etaltel b'kiso pisot niyah nikiyom. Facial tissues on Shabbos. And you see, that's exactly my point. Moda b'Erev. You get the language? What are we, tzedukim? What are we, kavrayim? You follow me, Menachem? Moda b'Erev. That you cannot be machmir. So, very interesting, his point of view. Now,
is it because it's such a big controversy, or specifically because it's a chashash of the courses like the Rosh Hashanah? There's such a concept of
chumrah. So once again, it comes back to what we spoke about last year. Bal nefesh achmir. But even if you're machmir, it has to be done quietly, silently. to go and pull down the Erev, to go and pull down the signs, what went on in Borough Park, it's a big question if it is Nizrak Bo Apikursus.
It's not that the Lechaim was Mekel B'Seisah, not Machmel B'Seisah.
No, in other words, he wanted to show that even though his tradition was not to carry, but once there's a neighbor with a Rav HaMachshir, he has to show we're not Sadukim, we're not Sadducees. And he carried tissues. Yes, yes.
What if the Rav HaMachshir suggests not to use the Erev unless necessary?
So on a Rav HaMachshir like that, I would not be Samach. That what you're telling me is what I had in Kashrut. I'll tell you. Let me give you a little experience from the rabbinate. And I'm in Newark now. I'm in Maplewood, South Orange, part of the Essex County Orthodox Board of Rabbis. And among the Rabbanim, the Gedolei Yisrael, were the Babiches, many with beards, many without beards. This is circa 1960. And there was one rabbi there, I don't want to mention his name, and he was a Lubavitcher. And he left Lubavitch. And there was another Lubavitcher there, Shalom Dov Gordon, who was a Yirat Tzadik. He was the son of Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, from the leading Gaboyim Chassidim of the 6th Rebbe when he came to America, and then of the 7th Rebbe. And Rav Shalom Ber Gordon, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, was a very wonderful, unique individual. Chabad through and through with Avat Yisrael. And he once said to me, I'll never forget this at a rabbinic meeting, he says to me, Reb Aaron, you're young yet. When a person leaves Lubavitch, he gives up more than Lubavitch. Now, this individual was making a living at a little shul, and he was giving hechsherim. And at a meeting of the rabbinate, they asked him, will you eat from your hechsher? He said, no. At that point, no one would eat from his hechsher. I'm happy to tell you today that the firm he gave hechsher to is under the OU. It's national today, all over the United States, maybe all over the Northern Hemisphere. But no one would eat when a man tells you that he gives a hechsher but he doesn't eat. Zetzawek lashamayim. You understand? I'd hate to see Rabbi Menachem Ganak come into an OU function and say, this I'm not Samach on the OU. You understand the message it gives? That his blood is redder, according to Gemara and Sanhedrin now, that his blood is redder than your blood. Okay.
Doesn't that go on all over Israel?
What can I tell you? If you think I'm happy with the situation here of the dual hechsher, I've said a million times over, to me it's terrible. There should be one hechsher, one standard, one level, and that's it. But Israel is Israel, I can tell you.
The question of a mashkiach giving...
We won't
eat in the restaurant.
Right, we have problems here. I'll give you a simple example, insoluble, but I give credit to Halal. When we got to the airport Monday night, remember I taught Monday morning, I went to the airport, get to the airport, and they're looking at us, and they're whispering. I said, what the heck is going on here? And they have to break the news to us. There are no planes. There's a strike on. So they said, where do you live? I said, it doesn't matter where I live. It's 9 o'clock at night. I'm not going back to Jerusalem now. I said, I can't be. 6:30, we're supposed to be here again in the morning. So they were very nice. Put us in a hotel. We wound up staying in this hotel with about 100 other people for 3 days. Now, the hotel was under the rabbinate of Ramat Gan. Rabbinate of Ramat Gan is a reliable rabbinate. This is Rav Ariel. Fine, reliable. This is a world-famous hotel, Kfar HaMakabiah, where it's not just the hotel. Conventions are held. The politicians meet there. Kings are crowned there. Kfar HaMakabiah. No, you had many people who are not Samachan. They had the Mechira. Elal had to wind up bringing in from a caterer airline packages of food for the people who are not Samachan, they had the Mechira. You understand? So look, that I can understand. I can't force people. I told you, ask me. I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman already dealt with this. The Rav already dealt with this. You want to be Machmir, but if you're caught in the pinch, the head of Mechira was not exactly given by low-level Rabban, was given by Gedolei Yisrael. You can be Samach. But who's going to, people not going to listen to me. The Alal, I give them credit. They had to bring in, I saw them bring in silver foil, special dinners for these people. Mela, lunch and supper, breakfast and supper you could manage without. But lunch, which is the main meal in Israel, they brought in Le'ela Le'ela. But you're raising a very serious question, and it bothers me that, for instance, Yerushalayim today, you don't know where to eat. When people ask me, I say, go to a Milchika restaurant. I don't know what's going on. And I saw with my own eyes, in a glad kosher place, beautiful place, famous place, we get into the elevator to leave. There's an Arab wheeling a little truck. What do you call it? Trays piled up. Is there a word for it? A food wheeler, a food truck, a food tray on wheels. Is there a word for it? And,
like a big one with
a Queen Mary. Queen Mary. We just learned a new word in English. He's wheeling a Queen Mary, an Arab. There's no siman, betoch siman. And this was a glut kosher heksha. 1 week later, b'merkaz Yerushalayim, I'm in a restaurant with only Rabbanut. And they're wheeling out a Queen Mary for evidently some affair. Every tray was covered with plastic, and on top of the plastic was a seal of the mashgiach. Siman betoch siman. I saw that with my own eyes. I couldn't believe my eyes. This is a glat kosher heksher where the person who took us out, dafka is makpir and chalak, and he went to dafka to this place. All right, be it as it may, I agree with you, and I wish there were a solution, but let's first see that Yerushalayim, now with the new chief rabbinate, gets back to the level it was on under Rav Zsolti. Okay, now, then he asks a different question. If you know that there's no Reshut HaRabim to Brooklyn, are you obligated to make an Erev? And here he goes into the whole question that Rabbi Cutler referred to and all the people who oppose the Erev refer to. Who is going to be Mashgiach on the Erev? Everyone gets used to the Erev, and they take it for granted that you are allowed to carry. I think I told you, or I mentioned it maybe in America, that the first question I ask when I come to a new place in America, is there an Erev? All right, they'll tell you yes. How do you know the Erev is up? How do you know the Erev hasn't gone down? How do you know there's snow, there's ice, there's endless rain? The way a rivim, the Tzirat HaPetach, is built, you always have to check. The Rav made a living, remember what I told you, the Rav made a living Thursday in Chaslovich, getting a few kopecks from his father for checking the Erev. But he didn't carry. We're Bristol, we can't carry. But he checked the Erev for his father. So here he says something right on. He says, why are people worried about this? All you have to have is a system. And he describes this. I think I saw it in the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. He says, Bizmanenu, they solved the problem. You have a red light or a green light on top of the shul. Can anyone tell me where that is? I saw it. Young Israel of Hillcrest. I know it. Yes, I saw it, so I wasn't far off. Not Kew Garden Hills, Hillcrest. A red light, a green light. You know immediately. Then he says, but Bizmanenu, we even have a better system. You have an automatic telephone system where anyone can call in, or you automatically call to say that the Erev is down. So he says, this is not a chash. Okay.
We get a phone call every Friday.
You get a phone call telling you that the Erev is
out. Or there's a problem, and we'll let you know later.
Okay, or if there's the truth of the matter is, in Yerushalayim, the only time there was a problem in recent history was last year during the big storm, and until today, I don't know whether the Erev was down or not. We could never get a clear answer. What happened on Shabbat? Okay, we never got a clear answer. Then he goes into the question.
Did you go
that
Shabbos? I didn't carry because I was choshesh l'chumra. But there was no announcement on the radio, and there were rumors that spread, yes, no, no, yes. But what we did that Shabbat, we davened Kabbalat Shabbat in the building. Not just the Motzai Shabbat, but we davened Kabbalat Shabbat in the building. We don't have a Torah in the building, which is a chisaron. We should have a Torah, considering who lives in the building. But there's no Torah. So Shabbos we went out, and Shabbos Mincha went out. But it was no problem. You can go out you wear the talis. To wear a talis is not a shayla whatsoever. Svarim they give you in shul. It's not the years ago people I remember bringing a siddur to shul when you went to a shul here. Today all the shuls that I know of have sidurim, have chumashim, so you don't have a problem. Now, if you know that Brooklyn is not a reshut harabim, should you build an Erev? And here he says that the halacha, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat, that when something doesn't cause any harm, you can force people to put up mechitzah. In other words, let's say you want to divide property, let's say you want to avoid hezek riyah. Let's say there's a certain benefit to differentiating between properties. And the Chashem Mishpat says, when no harm is caused, it's letovat hatzibur, you can force it to sugyan baba batra. He says, here, to put an Erev up when it's not a reshut harabim d'oraita, and you can solve the problem of people who carry on Shabbat, absolutely, it is a chiyuv to put the Erev up. And then he goes into the problems that we all face, which an Erev is fabulous in solving them. A medical doctor carrying his medical equipment. A woman who is ready to give birth and she's right near the hospital, but still she has to take with her to the hospital her nightgown, her clothes, her towel, her cosmetics, what a woman needs. He talks about the Hatzalah people, and he's right up to date here, that all the Hatzalah, and this is not only in Israel, but you see this in America, they carry around transmitters. They carry around cell phones on Shabbos. I once was at Shabbos in the Young Israel of... what was the name? New Hyde Park, near Lake Success, years ago. And I was there with a number of students, all of them medical doctors. And one of them was davening Musaf. In the middle of Musaf, three of my students' cell phones went off. It's before, you know, the intricate phones you have today, not cell phones, portable phones. What they carried then was much bigger than what you have today. It was a different world then, but still a world beyond me. But in the middle of davening, three phones went off and they had to go outside and, you know, call back. And the guy davening gave his phone to his chaver, my student, and Shragai called back for Alex to find out what the emergency was. So he says, all this you have to carry. If you have an Erev, it makes it 1,000 times easier to carry on Shabbat. And now we come to the golden prize in this Sefer, which to me, very inspiring. All of you know, our work and myself and Yitz Rubin, one of my karbonot, the work we did in Russia. So once you do work in Russia, you have an affinity for the Russian Jews. I don't have to go any further. Yitzchak's late wife, Judy, when she came back, you know, tell the class what your wife did.
My wife began a Karen that collected furniture for new Olim. So the phone rang from 7 to 11. Sometimes it was just junk that people wanted to get rid of. And once there was a Sauter oven, which was like $4,000.
Wow.
That the family decided they didn't want to stay in Israel, and it was still in the package.
Right.
So someone went and got a new oven.
So he got a brand new oven. His wife was at Sukkot. You have no idea. I write about her in Washington. There was another woman too. They're not alive anymore. Breaks my heart. What they did when they came back. But just like we became different people, they devoted their whole lives. Ein malah sha'er. So now I want to ask you a question. These Russian Jews under the communists, the older generation, they couldn't observe even if they wanted to. They had to work Saturday. There was no kosher food. But some of them still retained a brekel Yiddishkeit. I'm not talking now about the Serivnikim and all that happened. I'm talking about the older Jews. I don't have to tell you, many of them wound up in America, and many of them wound up in New York. Those of you who have been to Brighton Beach will see shuls with signs in Russian, mikvot with signs in Russian. Chabad has done phenomenal work among them. You walk in Manhattan Beach, you see the mansions with big mezuzah. Russians have conquered the world. So in Flatbush, he writes about a shul, in his shul, that Friday after Shabbos afternoon, Rav Binsky, he's a product, he studied in Shvatami, which I helped organize in 81, 82, 81. And he said, I recognize the name. He gave the Shia Shabbos afternoon for the Russians in Russian. And he said, 50 Russian Jews, elderly Jews, would come Shabbos to the Shia. Now, there's one little problem. That when it rained, they came with umbrellas. They carried umbrellas. Now, the whole question of an umbrella on Shabbos is an interesting question, because you can make a very strong case that you open it before Shabbos, which solves the problem of Binyan Arai, and then on Shabbos you just lift it up and you protect yourself from the rain. And you and Daf Mekil Zayin here, you're going to look for a kula because health is involved, right or wrong. We're not used to walking in the rain, we're not living in the Amazon. And you get soaked on Shabbos, I don't have to tell you, the first thing you have to do is take a bottle of whiskey and finish it, otherwise you're going to get a cold. All right, you take the whiskey, then you can't have mincha, you're shikur, so you put the mincha, but that's a different story. But I'm not paskening on an umbrella, I don't want to be a porridge getter, so today I have rain clothes, I can be completely covered in a minute, and I don't need any umbrella. But I have to tell you, the Rav spoke about, I told you this more than once, the Rav spoke about when he came back from his visit in 1935, he discussed the issue. And he said that the Chokrim from Hebrew University, all of them opened their umbrellas before Shabbos during the rainy season. And he said they made a point of walking around with the umbrellas to show that al pi halacha, they thought it was mutar. So he says here, and he's so right, we're not going to stop these people from carrying umbrellas. But if you build an Erev, the Issa, the Oraita of carrying an umbrella is totally removed. And I tell you, he's so beautiful here when he mentions the Russians. May Ole Russia, Lishmoa Drasha, May Harav Binsky Shlita, Shall Sekri Kiruv Rechon Kim. Brooklyn, it should be. Okay? And let's help them. Let's do something for them. And then he says something very interesting. Even if they mechalel Shabbos the Te'avon, but we have to help them. What is he referring here? The difference between a mechalel Shabbos lahachiz and a mechalel Shabbos the Te'avon. If so, it's mechalel Shabbos lahachiz, it could be we don't have to do anything. Well, what does the Gemara say? Let the Russia eat and let him drop dead. You follow? When the Siddur talks about taking the bread off the oven, that it shouldn't get baked on Shabbos. Do an Issa the Rabbanan, to spare an Issa the Oraita. But when someone's Mechal Shabbos, the Tayavon, in other words, to spare himself from the rain, we still have to help him. He's not a Russia. We can understand what he's doing. It's the Tayavon. It's like I told you on the boat I came in Aliyah, there was a mechitza between all the kosher people and the treif people. And the Reform rabbi was eating it with the treif people. That's a mumma lahachiz, because the kosher food was better than the treif food. You want to know why? Very simply. Because on the boat they knew right away that what's left over from the kosher division you can make treif. But what's treif, you can't serve in the kosher division. So many times they got a day after us the food that was given to us the day before, they got what was extra. So if you're le'teyavon, you have to eat in the kosher division. If you're eating in the treif, it's lahachas. Could be, as a Litvak, I have to say, I would say he's lahachas, let him rot. But a chassid wouldn't agree with me. It's a machlokes. You can trace it out. The chassid wouldn't agree with me. But here, these Jews are certainly no more than the Tayavon. They're coming to hear a shir. They're carrying an umbrella. Absolutely help them. Then he raises a different problem. These are problems. His mind is working. Tell me, in a place where there's no Erev, how do you open a door on Shabbos? You follow? If you're coming into a vestibule and the door is like at the end of the vestibule, you're taking a key, you're taking it from the Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid. You're standing outside a door. You're opening the door. The outside is Reshut HaRabim. The inside is Reshut HaYachid. These are all problems. Even where you use the key, we use the key as a tie clip. I remember we used to make silver tie clips out of the key to the house. It's amazing the etzad that Jews would come up with. Women would make a whole pendant, a whole jewelry, and make the key. He says, if you build an Erev, no one has a problem opening a door on Shabbat. And he says, Mitzvah lasot Erev kedei shelo yichshulu velo yavru al isa chotza b'shach p'tichat ha-delet u'skirat ha-delet kishahamafteach munach b'delet u'b'shach hanachat hamafteach b'delet o chotza ata misham. Wow. Unbelievable. Now, then he goes into another reason that no one ever thought about, why you have to make an Erev. Gentlemen, Yontif, are you allowed to carry?
Yes.
Okay. What are you allowed to carry? So here already you get involved with a whole machloket. On Yontif, the whole chet begins though with Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, right or wrong. Yontif, you're allowed to cook. Yontif is not Shabbat. Yontif is an intermediate level, I would say, between Chol HaMoed, Yontif, Shabbat, Yom Kippur. It's an intermediate level. Now, carrying, is, there are many Mishraim who hold, all you're allowed to carry is when there's a tzorech that goes around Ochel Nefesh. Then they expand it. Well, it's not just Ochel Nefesh, Mitoch Shalul Tzorech, Shalul Tzorech, but there has to be a tzorech. Now, why are we allowed to carry keys on Yontif? Because we lock the door. Why do we lock the door? We shouldn't be robbed. Tell me, in New York City, are they going to rob food on Yontif? If you hold that all the tzorech of carrying has to go back to something to do with food, how are you allowed to lock the door, carry the keys? Build an Erev, carrying is permitted. It's not asur. Mitzvah lasot Erev kedei shlo yikashlu velo yavru al iso tza lechol haposkim kishemetaltolim biyontef hamafteach shahadira levado. And then he raises another question. Tell me, what keys do you carry on Yontif? Most people just take their regular keys. You have keys to the house, key to the mailbox. You have keys that maybe you don't need on Yom Tov. You have keys in car keys are muktzah. That's a different story today, because all these car keys are smart keys, those are muktzah. You could make a case it would be an old-fashioned key. Perhaps there's an emergency on Shabbos, but we all carry more. What about downstairs to the house? In my building, the door is left open on Shabbos Yom Tov. What about if they forgot to open the door? Someone touched the little screw that you push down or push up. No, you need a key to get in. All this, you can make a case. Ma'abed b'shayurim. But if you have an Erev, there is no problem whatsoever. Then he raises a different question. No, you can carry a Yom Tov, tzorek, even if it's not tzorek al chanefesh. So you're going to shul. Yomo, you need your talit, you need your svarim, you need everything you need for shul. You're giving kiddush, you're taking cake, schnapps, paper goods, everything you need. How can you take it home? People don't leave it in shul. People walk home with it. What do you need it for at home? You davened already. You put on the talis. You don't need it until tomorrow. You don't need it if you have a Yom Tov Shabbos talis. You don't need it till next week. With a neiv, no problem whatsoever. And he raises another problem. Lulav v'netrog. You see, his mind is so seminal here. Lulav v'netrog. You bench lulav. You bench netrog. No one at home is going to bench. Your wife and children benched before you left the shul. You went out to your sukkah. When everyone was at home, I go into my sukkah. It's sukkah's morning. Bench lulav, bench etrog. Everyone benches. And then you go to shul. You don't need it anymore. Why are you bringing it home? No one needs any shul on Yom Tov. Of course you bring it home. And you bring it home, Yom Tov Rishon, there would be Yom Tov Sheni as well, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath, build an Erev that there should be no chash whatsoever in carrying a lulav and etrog. You with me? Then he raises other problems.
Then you have shofar on Shabbos.
Shofar, why Shabbos?
No, because
in
Rosh Hashanah, if you have shofar, it's a
halacha
that Tosfos that you have to have a shofar. But there's another halacha you're not allowed to carry.
Okay.
So therefore, if you didn't have a neiruv, now we do have a neiruv, and no, we still don't have a shofar.
Oh, no. So that's already getting involved with the Beis Din HaGadol, with a takana. But you're not going to build a neiruv to blow shofar, because even if you can blow shofar, b'zman hazeh, it's where there's a Beis Din HaGadol. But he raises the talit, the lulav, the netrog, those are things that you carry back. But then he raises a different problem. Nu, did you ever think about this problem? You're wearing a suit. In America, everybody wears a suit. Okay? You had the suit checked for shakness. No? They put a label in. How did they put the label in? They put it in with two clips. Right? How did they put your label in?
Staple it in. But sometimes,
okay, watch.
A really good place,
they sew it.
The entire bench, the whole thing.
Right. No?
But even when I went to, what's his name? Williamsburg, when he was still alive.
Rosenberger. Right, so they staple it in. A staple falls out. There's only one staple. You're carrying. What's the purpose? He raises that issue. I couldn't get over it. You went to the cleaner. The cleaner put in a little sticker with your name. You forgot to take it out. I put on a shirt? Malchus said to me, I walked around with a shirt with a sticker in back with the size on it. You know, they put on all these stickers. No, they forgot to put, they didn't sew it in. Certainly the dry cleaner's not going to sew it on. So you're carrying on Shabbos. Build an Erev. Shelo yikachlu v'lo yavru alisa chotza kishi yotzim bebeget hamukhuba im petek shel hamachpesa o beget chadash im hapketek o im hachut hamachabro. That many times you take off the label, but a string remains. And wow, he solves that problem. Build an Erev. Then he takes another problem, and here too we get you. Again, it comes back to the story I told you with Mordechai Kaplan. Mordechai Kaplan didn't carry on Shabbos. I actually spoke with him about this, but it's a famous story. If you know, it's well known. Mordechai Kaplan didn't carry. He tied two handkerchiefs together around his neck. And they asked him, Professor Kaplan, why are you doing this? He says, this is the Jewish civilization. My father did this. My grandfather did this. And then there's the famous story. It was pouring rain on the Upper West Side. And there's Mordechai Kaplan walking with an umbrella. And wise guys came to him, Professor Kaplan, here you don't carry a handkerchief. You tie it around your neck. And here you're walking with an umbrella in the rain. And he answered, for a civilization, you don't endanger your health. You don't get sick. So he now raises the question, what's the whole concept of tying handkerchiefs around your neck? If that's what people do, and that's the way they wear a scarf, and they would use handkerchiefs, then it's kiderach hamakom, then it's a levush, then it's not a problem. He quotes the Mishnah. You can see all the sources here that he quotes the Mishnah Brura. But if it's something that people don't do, it's not so pashut that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat. The fact that you're doing it doesn't make it a levush. Your dat is the teilah to the dat harabim. And he says, Shalom, Rina Bismanenu, Shay, Shay, Son, Hashim, Holchim, King, Lefamim. We don't see people walking with handkerchiefs around their neck. So he says, here too, you have to build an Erev. That even if they're Jews that are machmir not to carry and putting their handkerchiefs around their neck, we will spare them any isha, even for the machmirim, that it's lo kederech hamakom, ad kedei kach, he is koshish. Then he raises the issue, what about mikveh on Shabbos? No, chassidim go to mikveh. If you're allowed to go to mikveh, is a very difficult question. Mikveh hadin, I don't know how a man is allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos, but as I write about in Washington, I spent the Shabbos in Chabad, and while I was arguing and yelling and fighting and trying to bring proof, I can't go to mikvah, they pushed me in, and that was it. No, if you go to mikvah, you got to dry yourself off. What about here? You see Yerushalayim, people coming from mikvot, and Shabbos, they're carrying towels. What about when you can't wear or carry the towel? They wrap the towel around their neck for a scarf. How many people have you seen wrapping towels around their necks for scarves? You follow me? So if this is the case, build a mikveh. If you build a mikveh, you will be sparing the person isurim, isurim the oraita. Follow? Build an Erev, I mean, build an Erev. Then he goes into a problem that we dealt with it last term, and that Reb Moshe deals with it, and we suffer with this problem. Zev, all the jewelry that women wear. Where do you draw the line? What can they wear? What can't they wear? What's a tachshit? What's not a tachshit? And many of the Achronim say, they go back, and it's very, you got to be careful, Rafi, you got to be careful mentioning this today, because there's a feminist attack. Adam, if you want to show that the women are any less learned than you are, you can get into trouble today. As you will see, if I have time tomorrow, I will show you. And then I want to tell you, it's very dangerous to say today. But what was the attitude? The attitude is, Tov sheyu shogigin v'yal yehu meizidin. And this comes up time and again, the whole question of how the Litvish Welt and part of the Polish Welt, women did not cover their hair. Women who were tzadkaniyat, women who were married to Gedolei Yisrael. I will never give a list. I can give a list of all the Gedolei who came to America whose wives didn't cover their hair. I can give you a long list. AIs that saw. Eidut Nemana, and I can tell you big famous people I know who were Rebbetzins, and they'll give you a list of their cousins with Ali Yichas And there's a big question. I told you, the whole sefer was written in New Haven. It was republished, a fabulous sefer by, you know, Rav held him to be a gadol sheva gedolim on sefer mitzvot. There's a whole ha'ara there, the lamed zkut on these women. But the bottom line is, tov sheyu shogineval, you may sit. The rabbis held back from making it into a major issue because they felt they couldn't win. And then, but that's only by the Rabbana, not the Oraita. Here, covering Megillat Rosh Chodesh, you have to, with the Sota, you see it's a Vaparat Rosha, you see it's in the Oraita perhaps. So, all right, he deals with it, the Rav dealt with it. Rabbi Lichtenstein once told me over from the Rav exactly what, I believe his name was Rav Horowitz, said in his Sefer from New Haven out of the 1920s. But you see, that was our attitude. Don't start up with the women. Let them do it. They're not going to listen. They don't know how to learn. So he makes the point, if we build an Erev, we've solved the problem. They can wear all the jewelry they want. You don't have to get involved in rebuking them. We don't have to get involved in re-educating them. We don't have to get involved in all the achronim. And what is a tachshiv? What isn't a tachshiv? We have an Erev. Problem solved. Very, very fascinating. Again, I have to say today, we're caught up in a firestorm, which we saw develop before our eyes, the Chafetz Chaim. I've written on it, and you all know the sources, and times have changed, and if women don't learn Shas and Paiskim, they certainly are learning Tiflet. You understand? And the Rav said this, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe said this, and you see, well, all right, the women start to learn. I go to a skin doctor. She was my student. She was my student. All right, she, Baruch Hashem, she claims I made her year, but she's a good doctor. She makes my face. So we're even. But if a woman can become a medical doctor, any type of medical doctor, any type of scientist, I have a granddaughter-in-law getting a PhD from Hebrew U in advanced biology, biochem, she left for Australia last night, a whole Hebrew U with a working program in advanced relationship with the University of Melbourne. A professor at Hebrew U is in our world, and the guy in Melbourne receiving her is in our world of Torah and Yirat Shemayim. So a girl can do anything. No, if they start learning, just as Yomo is interested in learning and not being a nuclear scientist, they're interested in learning and not being a nuclear scientist. No, it reaches a point where they can write Kiddushei Torah, they can write Shuvah. Where can we? Then they, Rabbanim, Rabbaniyot, what's going on? Where do we draw the line? How do we draw the line? What kind of line do we draw? These are real problems that we're living right now. And Yitzchak, yours truly had a good laugh in Hollywood, Florida, because reading the websites, I always say very innocently and naively, Baruch Hashem, the Haredi world doesn't have these problems. Now what happened while I was gone? Three Haredi-yot organized a new party. You should see the interview. You should see what they said. And boy, in Florida, they were cursing out the Haredi. You know, these women are right. I said, yeah, these women are right, but we got to find a solution. That the men, they have to work, they have to raise children, they have to do this. Their life expectancy is much lower than a Haredi man. And these are real Haredi-yot. One of them is a Gerach Hashem. And the way the Haredim reacted was throw their kids out of the school, we'll put them at the Cherem. It was unbelievable, the counter-reaction. But the problems are real. So I apologize to all women listening that I don't know whether Tov Sheyu Shigugigin V'Yalumei didn't apply Bizman Hazeh, but I'm quoting him in the context of what was, absolutely. And finally,
do you think they're serious? Do you think they can get any support?
I don't think they're going to run as a political party, but this can't be stopped already. This is not the first time. And we react to Shalayim, the Haredi-yot went crazy, why they can't run. And I think in the Haredi world, they're caught up now with this issue, they're caught up with the Tachnit Talibah, they're caught up with Tzva Hagana Yisrael. I can tell you in 50 years, it will be a totally different world here, where it could very well be the Haredim and the Chadalim will all be one, there'll be less machloekis than today. You follow? Because we want Torah Yirat Shemayim, and they are coming out of the ghetto, and we merge together. How are we going to solve the woman's
problem?
We're
not going to see it.
Say that it doesn't matter if we see it or not. If our grandchildren see it, it's a great achievement.
Oh, right. In the same way as this Rabbi Mendel wrote a number of scenarios proving and showing why we need an airport.
Right.
I wish he would write a book showing why we have to have a bakery that the Zaka get. In other words, it's a closed book. It's almost like
you should admit
that women have any problems.
Yes,
the husband's a maneuvering. So if a husband is a maneuver, he wants $20,000 if he give a get, and that's cheap. What kind of beyond words? And the rabbis are approving it. And the rabbi says to a man, "Were you coerced to come here today? Why did he have to ask that question?"
Yitzchak, in Israel we've solved the problem.
No.
What are you saying, though? We throw people into jail. We throw people into solitary. What are you talking about? We take away all their privileges.
Okay, so let's say...
In America you have a problem because the people who beat the hell out of the guy with the cattle prod, one guy just pleaded guilty. They're waiting to see how many years in jail he'll get.
Right.
And in America you have a problem. The solution is everyone should come in Aliyah. What's the problem? What are you, not a Zionist? That's the solution. By the way, I got to tell you, pretty hard to preach Aliyah where I was. They have beautiful homes, they have pools in back of the house, in back of the pool they have a tennis court, in back of the tennis court they have a basketball court, and they cook me on via Meshugana. But I have to say, let me be positive. I'm Yisrael Chai. I have to say, there's a percentage of Aliyah, the Trumat Maisrat, I quote Rakefet now, they give Trumat Maisrat to Israel of their best people, and I had the schut. My grandson is a mafakeh, is a high rank, is already has rank in the Tzanchanim. And one of his soldiers, one of his tzanchanim, under his command, is a Chayal Bodeid from Hollywood, Florida. And the soldier's parents came over to me, and my daughter told me, I met these people, they're wonderful people, their grandson is a Chayal Bodeid, my grandson's name is Golan, and Golan is his mafakeid. And these people came over to me, and I was very moved, and there were others there too. So I have to tell you, with all my inability, and you know, you have to know when to speak, you don't give musa if it doesn't have an effect. With all my inability to go hard in Aliyah, but my heart was warmed by those who are speaking and doing and making Aliyah. And this built the state of Israel. It's Kima, the Medrash Rabbah and Shia Hashirim that I spoke about many years ago. My dear students, today was a fascinating Shia. I hope to finish up Rabbi Mendel's book. He's so innovative, you'll see the ideas he comes up with. Why we need an Arab. But yes, there's a solution there. If we only had a halakhic solution, I'd be the first one. I'm in favor. A guy doesn't want to give a get. You know what? You saw what Daesh did. My grandson went over. My grandson in Bitzalel. So he's back to himself. Thank God. I cried on Shabbos because we were eating together. He commanded it like he used to before he was wounded in battle. So he's back to himself. So he wants more from kids to come. They said we have to. I told them halakha. You have to become a mir tanika, but. He said, he talks with these leftists, these homosexuals, the lesbians, this wonderful, you're narrow-minded. He says, what do you want? Eretz Kfusha, this is what they call us. Tzva HaKovesh, this is from Bezalel. Your taxes are paying their salaries. So he says to this guy, he says, yeah, you want the Arabs to take over this country, but you're in favor of the lesbians, the homosexuals, he says. Didn't you see on YouTube the Daesh people throwing homosexuals off a 10-story building in Syria, I'm told, and killing them. That's what you want here? You understand? We don't have a solution. I'm in favor, but the American government won't let you do it. They'll arrest you. And here, you can do it beautifully. He loses all privileges. Goes to jail. Solitary. As my daughter told me, the last two cases of an individual didn't want to give a get. One gave within 24 hours, one within 36. And the nafka minhu was the guy who took 36 hours was a Yemenite. And Yemenites are very stubborn. I've had Yemenites too. They told me, we are stubborn. That's how we remained untouched by alien culture. All right, be it as it may, we saw many reasons today why we have to build an Erev. Some of the reasons are reasons of life, that a Russian comes with an umbrella. Some of the reasons are lumdas. Why get involved in the whole problem of what you can carry in it and what you can't carry? We talk about letzorech, achol nefesh, etc. Rings, keys, tachshitin, hatzolah. But we'll see next week when we pick up. It'll be very fascinating what else he goes into. Tomorrow is very different and very special. The history of why he was behind us, I can't go further because from this point on, I have a prejudice. I lived it. But what I'm switching into, an outsider looking in, I'm switching into Chassidut. And tomorrow, we're dealing with the Malachim, which is a very fascinating topic, and for me personally, very moving, because my wife's family had Malachim in it. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow is tomorrow. Now, let's just see about the freebies. This I took care of. Now, Yitzchak, one week, he didn't give shir, and this week shir, I'm getting tomorrow. Here's a very interesting article on people who fled Hitler, the Mitzvah family. This is the family that the Rav speaks about, Egon Mitzvah. Rakefet quotes him in the Rav, I thought members of the family. Anyway, the Mitzvah family, Michael and Marion, these are parents of my student, they're in their 90s, they have 100 direct descendants. This is their 100th great-grandchild, whom they just welcomed, if anyone wants it. This is a very, very moving article. They found documents in an attic, in Poland, whatever, and believe it or not, pictures of a family all hidden before Hitler, and they located the family in Australia somehow with miracles, and they're getting all the pictures of their family now. Finally, for those of you who are a little older and remember Bess Meyerson, she died. Here's the obituary from the New York Times, and I have to tell you, it is fascinating. I never knew she was involved in so much, and how she didn't want to be passed off as a dumb blonde, to quote. I don't know if she was blonde or not, but as a dumb blonde, and Queen Bess, her autobiography, her daughter, her marriages, and her very fascinating. I have to say,
my father delivered meat. To, he's a butcher.
To your father delivered meat to
the
to the Meyersons.
Yeah, his father was blind.
That's right. That's right. So we have a living connection here. Steve Ressler to a big.
Ralph Lauren lived there also.
Who lived there?
I think
Ralph Lauren. Isaac Mizrahi is Brooklyn. Isaac Mizrahi. They have an article on him in an architecture magazine with his husband. Isaac Mizrahi with his husband. And it's normal and no one says a word. And we are the bigots. God, what has the world come to? As I have been quoted by Yomo, you're only allowed to live in Russia if you don't live in Israel. Michael Vahurachon. Vasvidanya. We are in the Dhabi.